Good morning. Today's daf and gittin is Yotess. We are at the Mishnah, starting with the Mishnah on Yotess Amid Aleph, and thank Phil Zimmerman for sponsorship of the daf this week. Sponsorship will be learned. L'zeich Nishmas, Hinda Bracha Bas Yitzchak Asher, Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. We're starting with the Mishnah. We're going to be talking today about Ksiva. Okay, it's an exciting daf. It's a fun daf today regarding what is the definition of Ksiva. So you have to use the right ink, the right paper. So what's the right ink and what's the right paper? So we start with the Mishnah. So b'chol kosvin, by the get, no, we have very clear instructions. It's one of the few times in the Torah where the Torah says you must write it, right? Obviously, by Sefer Torah, there's a mitzvah of ksiva. Tefillah and mezuzah, there's also a mitzvah of ksiva. On Shabbos, there's an iser of ksiva. We're going to touch on that later today. But by the mitzvah of get, obviously, I say mitzvah, it is a mitzvah. Right? Not an exciting one, not one that one wants to do, but in the event that it needs to be done. So now there's a mitzvah of ksiva. The pasuk says, because of law, sefer krisus. So you're going to be writing for her. And on top of that, not only is there a mitzvah of ksiva, but on top of that, you must be writing on a sefer. Okay. So, that needs definition, and that's what our daf is doing today. So getting your test is the definition of ksiva. So, bakol kosvim, so the Mishnah starts off with that, is that you can write using any type of ink. Now, the board bakol, you see that through the entirety of Shas, right? First Mishnah in Chulin, hakol shochtin, everyone's going to shecht. And that means it's an expansive term. It means that people who you normally wouldn't think could shecht are allowed to shecht. And that's the first two, three blot of the Gemara in Chulin. Who's included in hakol? So over here, when we have our Mishnah, bakol kosvim, you know, when you write, you could use any kind of ink you want. So again, it's an expansive term and it's coming to include. So just hold that thought. We're going to come back to it. The Mishnah gives us a short list of inks that are acceptable. So we're given a list of inks, and the truth of the matter is that what these types of inks are going to be difficult for us to wrap our heads around because we're not living in Bavel. In this case, we're learning a Mishnah right now, Eretz Yisrael, circa 2nd century. So, but if we lived there, we would understand all these different types of inks. The common denominator of all these inks are they're permanent. Right? And that's what the Mishnah says. V'chol davar shu k'sho kayama. As long as you're writing with a permanent ink, that's going to be acceptable. Ein kosher lo b'mashkim v'lo b'mei peres v'lo b'chol davar she'ena miskayim. Now, what you can't write with is you can't write with using any kind of, let's call it a fruit juice or, right? Mashkin, a liquid, a fruit juice or anything which is not permanent. Okay, very simple. Al hakol kosher. So now the Mishnah already talked about the ink. Now we're talking about the paper. What am I writing on? So I'm using the word paper over here. Obviously, our papers are not exactly the same as their papers, but not radically different. It just happens to be that we have a slightly more modernized version of what we're writing on. But what can you write your get on? So ala kol kosvim, you can write your get pretty much on anything. So al ha'ala shel zayis, you want to take a leaf, an olive leaf, write on that. That's fine. Ala keren shel para, v'nosein la'asa para, you can write on the horn of a cow. Okay, an odd place to write your get, admittedly, but that's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is you can write it on anything. And so what you could do is you can write on the horn of the power, on the horn of the cow. Now, the Mishnah does say that you must hand over the entire cow. And I know why the Mishnah says that, right? And because if you're going to cut the horn off, so now there is a step missing between the ksiva and the nesina. And as we've discussed numerous times, and we're going to review again, and that is that there can't be a middle step. In other words, it must be that immediately after ksiva, there must be nesina. Ah, so that's why the Mishnah says that when you write on the horn of the cow, you have to give the whole cow. You can write on the hand of the eved. Now again, the eved is a person. That's true, but in other words, but as far as halach is concerned, so the eved is the eved is property. And so what you're doing now is you're writing it on the eved, which is now, in this regard, viewed as property, and therefore hand over the eved, and now she's going to be megareshes. We'll talk more about that later. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer Ein Kosvin, Alo Al Davar Sheish Bo Rechayim, Velo Al HaOchlin. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the position that you can't write on something which is live. In other words, it can't be something which is animate. It has to be an inanimate object. And also, you can't write on foods. In other words, for reasons which we're going to explore later on. We're not going to do it today. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili disqualifies foods and people or animals to be the object in which you write the get on. We'll go over the reasons later. And when I say later, I mean not today. No, okay.
When you start, I call question, it includes something, but it gives me all this list. So
Great question. The Gemara is going to ask your question. Okay, so D.O., so here we go. So now what the Gemara is going to do, and it's not going to be helpful to you and me, but still, in other words, for the audience of the Bavliim, it's going to be very helpful. Let's translate the words from Hebraic Mishnah to Aramaic. So for the Aramaic audience, listening audience, this is going to be really helpful. For you and I, it's a health mishnah. So Dio is Diusa. Okay, good. And Sam is Sama. It's so funny, by the way, because these words are so similar to one another. Like, you almost like wonder, like, you really needed a translation? Okay, but anyway, it doesn't matter. And Sikra, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Sikra Sashma. And Komos is Kuma. And Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Mishma, Charta de Ushkafi. Charta de Ushkafi is basically shoe polish, right? Or whatever they had as a form of shoe polish. Okay. Uvacholta Vashum is Kayin. Parenthetically, by the way, I happen to think that this note was very, very interesting. Here in the Masifta, he goes through the Rishonim, and they basically their recipes of how to make ink. Right? You could see it on Tosos in today's daf. We're not going to go through the Tosos inside. But if you're interested, if you're curious to know, like, what did the Rishonim use as ink? So Tosos over here goes through a recipe of what he would do in order to make ink. Right? Literally, he would just basically give you step by step of how to make ink. So that's Tosos over here, and Gittin on Daf Yates. And if you want more in this topic, it's just a good memory. We're doing Gittin Yates. Go to Megillah Daf Yates, and there too as well, Tosos also goes through a manual, right? A short recipe of how to make ink. Okay. I did a little bit of research, over the, thank you. I did a little bit of research, and what was very popular amongst the Rishonim is gall nuts. In other words, well, they would take gall nuts and, now, what exactly they would do, ferment, boil, and how chemically they would turn the gall nuts into an ink, that part I'm not sure about, but my research all point in the same direction, and that is that gall nut ink was super popular for the last 1,500 years, even more. Meaning all your Sifrei Torah that were written in the last 1,500 years was used with some sort of gall nut ink. So, when Tosus over here is writing, and he writes Dioshal Afatzim, and a question of whether or not you could use that for your Sefer Torah. You can't use it for your Sefer Torah. Anyway, the gallnut ink was the popular ink amongst the medieval, even before medieval times. In other words, at least 1,500 years, it was the ink that was used. Okay, good. That was my little research that I did. Anyway.
All the inks listed here.
Good. Yeah, presumably. In other words, as long as it's a permanent ink, again, right? It's more of a discussion, but presumably, whatever Ksiva would work by again would work by Sefer Torah. Okay, but again, that's not so straightforward. We're going to go on. Okay, so all inks are good as long as they're permanent inks. We could just simply summarize our last, you know, the first part of today's daf, and now we head into halacha. Okay, so here I'm going to be a lot more comfortable talking because this isn't Metzius issues, which I know very little about or close to nothing. Now we're going to be discussing halacha. I know a little bit more about these topics. So Itmar, Amar v'diyal gabi sikra b'shabbos. So let's say the following. Now sikra is an ink, but it's basically red ink. Okay? And diyo is black ink. And so what do you do on Shabbos? So here, props. So what I do now is that I sit there. Now, it happens to be that I'm looking at paper with black ink, but let's imagine for a moment that it's red ink. And on Shabbos, what I do is that I go over with black ink, and I go over the red ink, letter by letter. Okay? And so, I do that on Shabbos. So now, interesting. So, Hamavir, Diyal, Gabi, Sukkah, B'Shabbos, Rav Yochanan, V'Shalkesh, Amir, Tavayo, Chayiv, Shtayim, Achas, Mishim, Kosev, Achas, Mishim, Mochek. So a fascinating statement agreed to by Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and that is that you just violated Shabbos not once, but two times over. Number one, Mechika. You erased the red. Now, what do you mean you erased the red? You didn't erase the red. In other words, you wrote over it. That's called erasure. In other words, erasure is that once you block it out, so that is a form of erasure. And so therefore, you violated Mechika. Mechika is one of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos, so you're chayv on Mochek. Additional to that, in the same action, you were also kosev. In other words, you wrote the black ink over the red ink. And with that black ink, now obviously the black ink is totally visible. The red ink is totally invisible now. So totally blocked out. And so therefore, by writing the black ink on top of the red ink, so now that's an act of kosev. That's writing. And so therefore, for doing this one act of writing the black over the red, so you are now in violation of both mochek and kosev. Now that's obviously a chiddush. So let's say it's black on black or red on red. So now putter. In other words, you didn't do anything. You didn't. You weren't kosev. You weren't mochek. In other words, and it's fascinating because you wrote a letter. Yeah, but you didn't write a letter. In other words, you just wrote on top of a letter. And you didn't enhance. You didn't block out. You didn't enhance. So as a result of that, so you didn't violate Shabbos. Now, obviously the wording over here is putter. I'm sure we all know. But let's just spell it out. Putter means is that what you're doing is an issur derabanan, meaning that it's not mutter legamri to do that, but it's not an issur deraisa. The issur deraisa of kosev is to write letters anew. Alternatively, as we just learned together, black on top of red. That's also going to be an act of kosev on Shabbos. But red on red or black on black, that's not an act of kosev. So it's not an issur deraisa, but it's not mutter legamri. It's issur derabanan. Now, sikra al gabri dio. Now we get to the excitement. What if it's red on black? So in other words, I already have black letters and I write over it using a red ink. So sikra agabidio. So amrilei chayv, amrilei pater. So over here we have a debate. And the Gemara goes over both sides of the debate. Amrilei chayv mocheku. So one position is that you're chayv. Chayv for what? You're chayv for erasing. In other words, what the red did is that the red blocked out the black. Now, not for a moment are we going to entertain that you were kosef. You didn't write. In other words,
but that's by definition, no?
You didn't write. In other words, the black lettering that's underneath is already the letter. By virtue of the fact that now you write red on top of it, the red is not an enhancement. In other words, and it's interesting why the Gemara is just so absolutely confident over the fact that red ink does not enhance black ink. I guess just simply because it's not as pronounced. I would imagine, I'm guessing.
I mean, black has red in it, that's the whole point.
Okay, could be. But in other words, but the red is not viewed as an enhancement, so not for a moment the Gemara entertaining that this is kosev. It's not kosev. That's clear.
But why is it mochei if you could still see the black?
Ah, so the assumption now is that the red is going to be blocking out the black. In other words, when the red is on there, you can't see the black anymore.
If that's the first premise, then by definition it's going to be writing also.
Okay, good. That's why I'm calling this exciting. It's exciting. No, I'm serious. In other words, exciting in the fact that over here now, we are balancing over the fact that on one hand, you're not writing because you can't get better than black. So writing red over the black is not going to be an enhancement vis-a-vis kosev. On the other hand, it's blocking out the red. The red is blocking out the black. And therefore, according to one opinion, that is a violation of mochek. That's one possibility. The amrila pata mekalkohu. And the other possibility is that no. In other words, it's the red is not an enhancement. If anything, it detracts. And we know that on Shabbos, you're only violating a malacha when you are creating and you're doing something which is improving and it's constructive. And over here, the Gemara describes the red on top of black. It's not an enhancement. In fact, you can make the argument, the Gemara is doing so right now, that it is not constructive, but just the opposite, makalko. And so therefore, it's not going to be kosev. It's not even going to be mochik. Okay, because even mechika, right? This is just such a it's going to take a while to wrap our heads around this. Even mechika, which is an act of Shabbos, which is by definition something which I'm taking away, but it's got to take away in order to create an enhancement. Okay, I know that's a lot to think about, but that's what the Gemara is forcing us to do. That when I'm running red over black. Because it is erasing, but in a non-constructive fashion, so therefore one's not even in violation of mochik. Okay.
But black over red is a
black over red is an enhancement. That's an enhancement.
The red over black is
definitely not ksiva. Definitely not ksiva. And then a question of whether or not it's mochik or not. Yeah, I know. I know the Gemara is hard. It's definitely right. It's good. I've been spending some time thinking about it, but that's. Clearly, how the Gemara is lining up. Okay, now, Edom, we don't know how to sign. Okay, for the remainder of today's first Amud, we're going to be discussing what happens when I have Edom who are just simply incapable of signing. They weren't given an education. They grew up, right? They do many things well, but they don't know how to write. And they don't know how to sign their name. So what can you do to help them sign their name? So I got a good idea, says the Gemara, and that is, So basically create a stencil for them. And they're going to write over the stencil. Now, what stencil are you going to do? Well, based on what we just learned together, write with red ink and then give them black ink and have them now signing over the red ink with black ink. On Shabbos, we just learned together that that is an act of kosev on Shabbos and therefore going to be chayev. So over here, haven't we solved now for the problem of Edom who don't know how to sign? That's the Gemara's question. Question or proposal. So, Mao Sheikh Vulam Besikra. And Ksav El Yom Ksav? Oh, Enu Ksav. So, now, when they write over the red ink with black ink, so that's writing, right? So, Amr Lay, so Rav Yochan says to Reish Lakish, Enu Ksav. No, it's not writing. So, Amr Lay. Amr Lay. Haloli Maratin Rabbeinu Ksav El Yom Ksav Leinyan Shabbos. So, Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, wow, am I so confused, right? David just asked me the same thing. What's happening over here? Meaning by Shabbos you're telling me it's Ksiva, and now by Gittin you're telling me it's not Ksiva? Come on, you have to be consistent. Now the response is very interesting. V'chim ibnei, this is Rav Yochanan's response to Reish Lakish. Amrle v'chim ibnei shanu medamim nasa maisa. Look, in the base measures we can do comparisons, right? In other words, in the base measures, so we are trying our best to ascertain what's the truth. And so we have this and we have this and we're making comparisons. That's what we do. That's learning. But that doesn't mean that should be the practice. Meaning the base medrash is a laboratory. It's where we test things. It's where we test ideas and we try to prove one point over another or compare one point to another. But that doesn't mean that that's practical halacha. Now there's a really interesting Rashi over here. I'm going to read it. V'vechim imnei sha'anu medamim. Rashi writes over here. No, next Rashi I want to read. Nasa Maisa Lahakel Afilu Inyan Shabbos. Imba Maisa Liadin Bizman Besa Mikdash Laisa Samech Aldivarai Lavichulin La Azara. Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look, even if we go back to the Shabbos discussion, which we had just moments earlier, Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, you know, when you write black on top of red, you're Chayv Shtayim, you're Chayv Two. Rav Yochanan now is saying to Reish Lakish, according to Rashi, this is the way Rashi is presenting the Sugya. You know, even back on the Shabbos discussion, I know I said Chayav, but at the same time, however, I'm not saying it with 100% confidence. There's red ink over there. In other words, the letter's written. I'm writing black on top of red. I know I think it's an enhancement. I know I think it's Ksiva. But would I go so far as to say that when the person does that on Shabbos, I would then advise him, not advise him, I would then tell him to go bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash? Meaning we're assuming the guy did a bishogi, right? If that wasn't clear, let's make that clear right now. In other words, we're not talking about someone who's Michal Shabbos b'mezid. We're talking about where he woke up in the morning thinking it was Sunday. Good. And he wrote letters. And now in this particular discussion, he already had red and he's writing black on top of red. Rav Yochanan saying now to Reish Lakish, again, according to Rashi, you know, I'm not so sure I'm going to tell him to bring a carbon. Bringing a carbon is risky business. You bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash when you're chayv to bring a carbon. If you're not chayv to bring a carbon, so that's what's called chulin bazara. That's a violation. That's an isser. So the way Rashi presents it, where Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish is, even on the Shabbos discussion, I'm going to hedge. I think so, but I'm not totally confident. And now when it comes to a get, I'll say the same thing. Meaning black on top of red for the Edom to sign on the document, I'm going to hedge. In other words, I think it's writing, but I'm not totally confident. I wouldn't say that the get would be a kosher get. Okay. So really interesting. And boy, oh boy, there is a lot more discussion to be had because, right, he's got a lot of notes over here. It's very interesting. According to the Rambam would seems to say very clearly that black on top of red is writing Lagabi Shabbos. Meanwhile, when it comes to a get, he does not believe that that's going to be good for a get. What's the difference between Shabbos and Gittin? Okay, as you can see, that would be
different standards.
Okay, good. Right, the different standards for Shabbos and for Gittin, perfect. And then a slew of suggestions in terms of what exactly the different standards is predicated on.
Rabbi, somebody took a get and erased that signature, and somebody else signs over it. Would that be good?
No. In other words,
it seems like that's exactly what's happening here.
Well, in other words, your question is very fair, but. At least we're entertaining the idea that you could stencil right over the stencil and that would be fine. Hold that thought because we're going to do more of this. Itmar, Edom, Shein, Yodim, Lachtom, Rav Amram Mekar Lem Niyar Chalak Nemala Mr. Krayim Bidyo. So what do you do for the aide who doesn't know how to sign? So Rav's suggestion, second time we're hearing this in the Masechta, and that is that what we'll do is that we'll take a knife and we'll make grooves in the paper. And with the grooves in the paper now, he'll just simply know exactly how to sign his name. He'll follow the grooves. Okay. Shmuel Amar Ba'avar. Now, Shmuel will tell you is that what we'll do is that we'll put a little lead out there. Now, probably in the past I pronounced that as aver. That's probably incorrect. Aver is a limb of a body, right? So over here, if we're talking about lead, which we are talking about, so the word is avar. So we'll put some lead on. So ba'avar sakadacha, so va'atini Rabbi Chiya kasher ba'avar b'shchor v'shichor kasher. The Gemara says, wait one second, right? Writing with lead, you and I call that a pencil, okay? Number two. That's the popular one. I've never seen another number. I'm sure they're out there. Okay, so the Gemara says, wait one second. Writing with lead, how can that be considered non-writing? In other words, in fact, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya in Abraisa says that writing with lead is writing. So lo kasha haba avra haba maida avra. So the Gemara says, well, there are two different types of leads. There's lead and there's liquid lead. Now, again, all this is going to go over our heads, or I'll speak for myself. It's going to go over my head because I don't, in other words, you and I are used to, you know, modern day pencils where they take lead and, you know, they encapsulate it in wood and we sharpen it and it becomes a great writing implement. Back in the day, so they used some form of lead, but not the way we use it. Okay, so I'm just presenting it like Rashi, but I'm not presenting it like because I don't understand what I'm actually describing over here. Okay, I admit I'm a little bit handcuffed today, but that's fine. So liquid lead, says Rashi. In other words, when I say liquid lead, I'm talking about lead that's soaked in water. So basically that became like an ink. And as such, I'm sure he does a good job describing it, by the way. Oh, okay, anyway. So basically it becomes like a form of ink. If I use that to write with, that's writing. And so therefore, it's not going to help my aide who can't sign. Oh, I'm going to use this ink, this lead ink, and I'm going to sign with the lead ink. Now you write over that. No good. In other words, because I already wrote. And him writing on top of that, that's not him signing. But if I'm using just the lead itself. Okay, here's my guess. It's a guess. The lead itself is probably some form of powder, right? And basically what I'm doing is that I'm, you know, kind of just spreading it over the paper and over here, follow. Just follow over here, and now with ink, he follows over the lead. Under those circumstances, that's good. That's considered signing. That's a signature. Good. We continue in the Gemara, Rabbi Abba Amar. What we're trying to do is solve for the problem. Problem is that we don't have Adam who know how to sign. In a moment, by the way, I hope you're wondering, like, why don't we get Adam who know how to sign? Meaning, wouldn't it seem better that we should get Adam who are both literate and know how to write? Okay, in a moment the Gemara's not going to wake up to that, meaning that's obviously a thought that we have to keep in mind. In a moment you'll understand why the Gemara isn't bothered by that. Rabbi Abba Amar ben Meimilin. So Rabbi Abba says that what you're going to do is you're going to use Meimilin. Now, basically it's gallnut juice. Now, I know earlier this morning I described that ink back in the days was a composite of gallnut. Some sort of blend of gallnuts. But over here now we're going back to the Gemara and gallnut juice. So the Gemara says, Vatani, Rabbi Chanina Kasher ben Meitirya Vafatza Kasher. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Writing with gallnut juice is writing. And again, what we're trying to do is create a template or we're trying to create a stencil so that the aide can sign over it. So what we're looking for is something which is not writing, so that when the aide signs on it, it is writing. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, had da afetz, had da lo afetz, shei meimilin, agabe meimilin. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Okay. Remember, we've gone over this point a number of times, but today's the day to discuss it. And that is that their papers were treated. In other words, what they tried to do back in the day, we try to do this nowadays as well. With checks and other legal documents, is that we try to use paper that is not you can't play with it. In other words, if I can erase a piece of paper and there's no detection whatsoever that the paper was erased, that's bad. So what they do is they treated their papers. And how do they treat their papers? So they put in a layer of walnut juice over the paper. Okay, exactly how this worked. And in other words, it would have been better if we all could see it together and how it's done. But anyway, but for our purposes right now, here's all we need to know. Back in the day, it was popular for papers to be treated with walnut juice. Now, if the paper's treated with walnut juice, and now I'm using walnut juice as ink, so now I don't see it. Okay, in other words, the paper now, the hue of the paper, the color of the paper is the same as now the ink. And now, right, milin agabe milin, that's what the Gemara is telling us, is that when I'm using now the walnut juice ink on walnut juice treated paper, so therefore there is, I'm not saying this is an expression. Right now, take me literally. There's nothing to see here. You can't see it. Huh?
Where's the witness going to
So lokash adafit adalafish milan gabi milan. So that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying is that when Rabbi Chiya in his brisa, Rabbi Chanina's brisa says that writing with walnut ink is fine. What he was describing was when the walnut ink is used on paper that was non-treated. Now I know, by the way, then it leads to the question of if it's not treated, so that's forgeable paper, and we don't like that. But put that aside right now. Meaning right now it's just the idea that this ink is going to be visible because it's written on a paper that is not the same color. Oh. And then previously when we said that what you'll do is you'll start out the Aiden by giving him a stencil of walnut ink. Because what you did is you did the walnut ink on the walnut paper and now that's not writing. Perfect. Now he can come along now and he can trace over it with dark ink and that would be fine. Okay, Phil, to your practical question of, well, he can't see, right? He can't see what he's writing over. So I'm going to guess, and I'm just guessing because I don't know, but I'm going to guess that when the walnut ink is fresh on the paper, so at that point in time, there's something to see. Okay. Rapapa Amar Baroque. Rapapa says, I'll tell you what you'll do in terms of creating a stencil for our witness, and that is that you'll spit on the paper. When I say spit, I don't mean that. What I mean is that you're going to take spittle, and you're going to put the spittle on the paper in the form of letters, and you tell them to write over that. And again, you and I are like wondering, like, how are you writing ink on top of spit? It sounds weird. The point is that the spit itself obviously is not ksav, and when he writes over the spit, when he's tracing over the spit, that's ksav.
No, but the liquid could actually enable, like, lead or ink.
Correct. Right. So you think about our modern implements. Our modern writing implements over here is, you know, it's pointless. It's useless. V'chein ori le rapapa le papa tura'a. Baroque. And that's where Rav Papa told Papa Tura. Papa Tura. There is another Papa. He happens to share the same name as the Amora. Obviously lived in the same time. He was a cattle herder. And so good. So in the cattle herding, he was fantastic. Writing, that wasn't the strength. So Rav Papa said that, you know, you, Papa Torah, you want to sign on a document. So what we'll do is that we'll create a stencil for you. How we're going to create the stencil? We'll use ink. Sorry. We'll use spit. Hani mili begin. And now, as we approach the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, so now the Gemara points out, this is all going to be true when it comes to get. Meaning, what's true? We're using witnesses who can't sign their name. Okay, I already pointed this out, but let's say it again. It's strange. In other words, they're obviously their level of education is really low. And so, right? Can we find people who like know how to read and know how to write? So fine. So it's preferable, but when it comes to a get, if somebody's available to sign, get him. Gemara's going to be very clear about this. Hani mili begin of Abishar is low. When it comes to any other star, any other document, and you're using an aide who can't sign his name, and you must start off with a stencil for him in order to be able to sign his name. So this was done in Rav Kahana's court. Rav Kahana was so upset. Rav Kahana gave malchus to the court. I'm not sure who he gave malchus to. The person who signed, the court that did it, the court that officiated. Rav Kahana was giving somebody malchus.
Are we assuming that the Aidim here are illiterate?
We'll get to that in just a moment. They certainly can't write. And whether or not they're illiterate or not, stay tuned. Tanya Kavase Darav, you don't have to wait that long. The Gemara on the top of your testament base. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa supporting that which we just learned by Rav. Rav just taught us that this is an extraordinarily limited heter to allow for Edom who don't know how to sign their name to sign their name. That's only by a divorce document. You and I call it a get, right? In the beginning of the Masechta, remember the word get is really a generic word. It really describes all documents. However, right, and when we're learning gittin, which we're doing, so we're going to be assuming that get is just simply the word to describe a divorce document. You and I call it a get. So, Rav is telling you that you can only have these kind of edim signing on a get, but you should not use them for any other document. The Gemara says, I have a braisa making the exact same point. Let's read the braisa. Edim shein yodim lachtom. So if the witnesses don't know how to sign, now Ben, listen carefully, this is your point. Mikaren lem niyar chalak, umemalem as a crime deal. So what we'll do is that we'll sketch out their name, right? Again, this is the way Rashi presents it. Like you take a knife and you'll score the paper to create the letters of his name, and he'll write over the marks. I'm Rishon and Gamliel by Medvar Mamor and Begitei Nashim. Ava b'shachur avadim v'shar kol shtaros im yodim likros v'lachtom chosmim v'im lavin chosmim. And Rishon and Gamliel says that's only true when it comes to a get of a divorce. Any other document, emancipation of an Eved Kenani, or any other contract, any other document, you must get people who know how to write their name. Now, that's not what he says. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, the im yodim likros v'lachtom. They have to know both how to read and how to sign. They have to know how to read and write. So kriya mandikar shmei. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that last part of the braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel talks about reading. That wasn't mentioned earlier. So chesurim echzer v'achikitani, the Gemara says, you're right. It wasn't mentioned earlier, but we'll fill in the missing part of the braisa. Edim she'in yodim likros. If witnesses don't know how to read, so karen lifneim, so what we'll do is that we'll read the get. So now they're going to be able to hear it. And chosmim. And they're going to sign v'she'in yodim lachtom. Now what if they don't know how to sign? So then what we'll do is that we'll create the stencil we just described. So in the braisa, we're actually describing witnesses who neither can read nor can write. Okay. And now, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, now as we now filled in the missing part of the first part of the braisa, now we totally understand how Rav Shimon Gamliel comes in and makes the following qualification. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel ba medvar mamorim bikitei nashim ava b'shichur avad m'shar kol ashtaros im yodim likros halachtim chosmim v'im lav ein chosmim. And that's where Rav Shimon Gamliel says, good. This is only going to be limited to, again, Isha, but we're not going to apply it to any other contract law. You already can guess the reason. You don't have to guess. It's the Gemara's next line. Amar Avelazar Maitamad Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shalai Yibanois Yisrael Agunos. So over here, one of the most powerful ideas that we've expressed already numerous times in our Masechta, and we get to say in today's daf again, and that is that, look, we will avail ourselves to various leniencies so that women do not become an Aguna. Right? The husband goes away. This is going to be one of the last opportunities where we're going to write a get. The only witnesses available are these illiterate witnesses. Get them. In other words, we want this woman to be able to move on to her life into the next chapter of his life, of a life. Same thing Rashi points out over here in terms of, let's say she's looking at Yibum. A Yibum situation she does not want, right? We all know who the brother is. It's not a good situation. In other words, and to prevent her from Yibum so she'll get a divorce. That will excuse her from the mitzvah of Yibum. Again, that's another form of aguna, if you will. So in other words, when you can allow a woman to move on in her life, that is an extraordinarily powerful idea. And so therefore, avail yourself to leniencies, i.e. use edim that can't read nor can write.
If an aid is illiterate, and it's acceptable here, yeah. Right? So what are they verifying when they sign a get?
The get's going to be read to them, and now you need two signatures.
But the thing is that what if what they're reading through them isn't reflecting? Is this distorted reading of?
Amarava, perfect. Amarava.
They didn't talk about what happened. You can hold his hand and like you teach a kid how to write. So who's doing he's doing the writing, but somebody's helping him.
Yeah. All right, so Phil's asking, in other words, just have somebody else just hold his hand and,
And the writing is a Torah. When you finish the Torah, you just hold the
right.
Hand.
But is that right? I don't know, in other words, but I don't know if that qualifies as you writing. In other words, by signatures, you need you signing the document. So if somebody's holding your hand and guiding your hand, I don't know if that's a you thing.
Okay.
But I'm just simply suggesting that. Okay. Amar Rava Halach Yerushim Amin Gamliel. So, and the Gemara says that's the halacha, what we just learned together. That the only exception where you're going to allow for illiterate and illegible, illegible. Yeah, let's say it. So illiterate and illegible people to be signing is only going to be limited to a get and to no other document. That's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And Rava says that's the halacha. Rav Gamda, Mishmei de Rava Amar, in halacha. Now Rav Gamda says, no, that's not the halacha. Now that means that according to Rav Gamda, so now you can allow a literate, legible Adam to sign on all documents. So ve'ela kaman karabanan ve'ha'ud avad uvda b'shar shtaros ve'nagde rev kahana. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to go to what we just learned 5 minutes ago. And that is that someone availed themselves to illiterate, illegible Adam in Rav Kahana's court, and Rav Kahana blew a gasket. In other words, Rav Kahana thought that that was absolutely incorrect, right? And handed out Malkus. And when I say Malkus, by the way, right, Nagde in Aramaic means he gave out Malkus. In other words, when somebody is doing something which is a total distortion of halacha, so the court has it within the right to give out Malkus. It's Malkus midrabanan, right? We've seen it, we see it numerous times. And so here's an example. Anyway, so how can you tell me the halacha doesn't follow like Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel? I'm watching Rav Kahana in his courtroom where he blew a gasket when someone allowed illiterate Adam to sign on a non-get document. So Tirgama Akriya. So the Gemara says like this, that when Rav Kahana said, no, let's do that again. When Rav Gamda said, okay, I know there are a lot of players over here. When Rav Gamda said that the halacha is not like Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel, meaning when Rav Gamda allowed the usage of these slightly uneducated Adam to sign, so what he was limited, he wasn't saying it across the board. In other words, if, let's say for example, they don't know how to read, but they know how to write. Now, I really struggle with this because if you can't read, you're going to have the ability to write, but I guess we're talking about signing your name. So it's not like, I don't know if it's crazy to consider. And it's not crazy because the Gemara is considering it. So then, correct. So he doesn't know how to read, but he knows how to sign his name. On that, Rav Gamda says, "I'm going to be more lenient. I think it's more lenient." When Rav Kahana blew a gasket, that was with somebody who didn't know how to read nor knew how to write. Okay, that's what the Gemara is presenting. Okay, and now we're going to do a little bit more Gemara for today, and that is. When you're signing on a document, do you need to be reading the document? The simple answer, of course, is yes. Okay? In other words, right? I know we kind of now availed ourselves to, what do I need to do? I need to check off that I read everything. Okay, get me to the end. Check. Okay, but we all know, in other words, responsible adults know, I'm not sure if I'm putting myself in that category, don't sign unless you read. So over here now, is there any ability for a person to be signing a document without having read the document? And that's really what we're going to be doing for the rest of today's daf. Rav Yehuda mitzar v'kari v'chasim. So Rav Yehuda had trouble seeing. Okay. And so when it came to something that he needed to sign, so mitzta'er. So he really pushed himself, right? It would have helped him had he had my reading glasses, but okay. So he really pushed himself. So Amrle ula lo tzrichas da Rebbe Elazar Mari de'Eretz Yisrael. So kari kamei v'chasim, Rav Nachman kari kamei sefer dayana v'chasim. So ula says to Rav Yehuda, I'm going to save you a lot of trouble. Have somebody read the document to you and then you sign on the bottom. In other words, you have difficult reading. So fine. So have somebody read to you what is written in the document. And he gave two case studies in which people did that. People did that for Rav Nachman. People did that for Rebbe Elazar. And so you could do that too. So Vidafka Rav Nachman v'safra dayane de islu emasa of Rav Nachman v'safra achrina. So safra dayane v'vinish achrina lo. But Gemara says, however, though, that there must be a very There must be a relationship of awe and fear between the reader and the signer. In other words, with Rav Nachman and the people in his court, where they were afraid of Rav Nachman. And in other words, and Rav Nachman knew what's in the document, exactly what was read to me. But if there's any concern whatsoever, oh, you're going to sign this here? Let me read it to you. And you hold up the document. And there's absolutely no fear. And you could read whatever you want. And what you're reading doesn't have to be on that piece of paper. So then, no. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, it doesn't work. So Gemara tells us other circumstances where the court will be using a document that the court itself may not understand, but as long as you can verify that that's what's written on the contract, you're good. Gemara tells a story with Rav Papa, where it was a Persian document. It was written in Farsi. And I know, old Farsi, not the, you know, not the modern. So he started, and it was, so what Rav Papa wanted to know, he wanted to verify what was written in the document. So he had two Parsiim come and read the document to him, independent of one another. In other words, and now he, and Mesich Lefi Tumo. Now this part's tricky, by the way. In other words, they're reading it not knowing that what they're going to be saying is incriminating. And innocently. So, and now, in this two-step process, verify that that's what's actually written in the document, and now enforce the contract. To the point where, even from Mishubadim, in other words, there was a lien created by this document, he allowed the creditor to exercise his lien. Am Rav Ashi, Am Ali Rav Huna Barnas, and Hachi Amar Amemar, Haishtar Parsa, Dechasim Ala Saade, Yisrael Magbinim Be Mimishabde. So, another case study where it was a Persian document written in Farsi, and two Jews are signing on the bottom. So the Gemara says Vahalo Yade Lemikre. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't understand. I got Jews writing signing on the bottom on a Persian document written in Farsi. Like, what are they signing on? They don't know what they're signing on. So Bediyade, the Gemara says, no, we're talking about Jews who speak Farsi. In this room, I got two of them. So the Vahabi Inan Ksav Sheino Yachuli His Dayev. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, you must be treated parchment. So the Gemara says Amzar Velekin. The Gemara assumes it's not. In other words, the Gemara is assuming right now that the Persian documents were non-treated documents. So the Gemara says Bedafitzan. Yeah, but the document under discussion over here was a treated document. It was made counterfeit proof. Gemara says, you know, that in contract law, so the basic points of the contract have to be summarized in that last sentence of the text, of the paragraph. So the Gemara says, ben the mehader, you had it over here as well. So great. So basically, I've taken care of all the halakhic problems, and the only thing you're teaching me is that a contract is good even though it's not written in Hebrew. Yesher koach. That's something that we know already. Tanina, the Mishnah later on, Getcha Kasvil, Ivris Ve'ed of Yavanis, Yavanis Ve'ed of Ivris Kasher. There doesn't have to be agreement between the text and the signatures, right? The text can be written in one language and the signatures can be signed in another language, and that's fine. And if all you're teaching me is that, that's a Mishnah coming up later on. So, So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you. It is a chiddush because over there, that's talking about a get. We'll avail ourselves to leniencies by a get. See above, right? See what we discussed earlier this morning. But when it comes to other shtaros, I might have thought there needs to be agreement in language between text and signatures. Meisvei, Amar Shmuel. Okay. Okay. Let's pause over here. With the Amar Shmuel, okay, right, okay, anyway, this next halacha is going to be a little bit tricky. All right, so let's start with this fresh tomorrow with Amar Shmuel. Tomorrow's daf is going to be a shorter daf anyway. Okay, so we'll be able to catch up tomorrow. Anyway, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, a lot of excitement today. Today's daf getting your test. We talked all about Siva. Okay, number one, you have to write with permanent ink on paper. Okay, we went over what permanent ink is. We went over paper. Doesn't have to be paper. It could be any over any objects, inanimate objects, and even animate objects. Right? You could write the get on an ox. You could write the get or get on the hand of an eved. Although those last two points are controversial, right? And you could say controversial. Machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah. We didn't discuss it. We're going to discuss it later. Okay. Now, in terms of the inks, what inks are good? We went over a list. We went over the proper inks. We discussed on the Amud Aleph halacha, and that is enhancing the ink. Let's say like you write black over red, right? That's an enhancement. On Shabbos, chayv shayim. You're a mochik and you're a kosev. And so ostensibly then that led to the following discussion. So if I have an illiterate aide who needs to sign on the bottom, so I'll write with red ink and he'll sign over it with black ink, and that'll work, right? And Rav Yochanan said in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, look, I think so, but let's not go to the point of conclusion. I wouldn't conclude that way. Okay, good. And that led us to the discussion of, well, what can I do for my illiterate aidim who needs to sign on the document? And so the Gemara goes over a number of suggestions of what to do where I'm not writing, but I'm stenciling, and that he can write on top of it. Where my non-writing is qualified halakhically as non-writing, and his writing over it is in fact going to be considered writing. So that's what we did in the Amud Aleph. Using illiterate and illegible Adim to sign on the document, the Gemara says, yeah, by Gite Nashim, yes, because again, we don't want women to become agunos. Other documents, no. And Rav Kahana was furious because somebody allowed for an illiterate, illegible aide to sign on a non-get document, and Rav Kahana didn't like it, to say the least. Okay. And that got us to the Amud Beis. A little bit of the opening on the Amud Beis, do we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Do we not pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel? That was the first part of the Amud Beis. And then, we discussed, do you have to read the Shtar before signing it? The answer, of course, is yes, but can someone read it to you? So Rav Nachman and Rav Elazar allowed others to read it to them, but the Gemara says you have to make sure the people reading it to you are people that you can trust, and people that are going to be reading nothing more than what is actually on the document itself. And finally, we then, our last point that we did today, does there need to be agreement in language between the text of the Shtar and the, those who are signing? Do they have to be signing in the same language as the text? The answer, of course, is no. But I say, of course, meaning, but the Gemara says, that's a halacha that applies to all Shtaris.